Now, I've mentioned the city of Hattusha several times, and I've talked about it as being a remarkable source for our understanding of Hittite history because of the documents that have been uncovered there. But Hattusha was also a remarkable architectural center, the center of this vast kingdom that in its heyday stretched from central Anatolia eastward into northern Mesopotamia, and at times controlled portions of Syria. Now, since the time of Hattusili I in 1650 BC, Hattusha had become a beautiful city, fortified by walls and containing various palaces and temples. Shupaluliuma I also had done much to build up the city of Hattusha, but most of the city seems to have developed rather late in the history of the Hittites, during the 13th century BC, under the guidance of a king called Tudhaliya IV, who ruled from about 1237 to 1209 BC. Now, in his day, Hattusha encompassed around 450 acres, or that's about 185 hectares. And was surrounded by massive stone fortifications that measured about 3 miles in length. The walls stood at least 30 feet in height. The Hittites were a warlike people, and they were prepared for war. Towers stood at regular intervals around these vast city walls, and there were a few postern gates, a few hidden entrances, vaulted tunnels that led through the fabric of the walls. Now, it's hard to say what the population of Hattusha would have been in, say, the 13th century BC, but archaeologists have uncovered granaries in various locations of the city that have the capacity of about 8,000 tons of grain, enough to feed annually tens of thousands of people. There was a good water supply within these city walls. 5 water reservoirs were constructed, giant pools of fresh water. Some of these tapped springs that were located within the city walls, but others were fed by terracotta pipes that were brought from distant water supplies. So we have our first aqueduct systems feeding the water, feeding the pools here at Hattusha. There were 3 gates through which one could enter the city. And each of these was decorated with impressive sculpture. One was known as the Lion Gate, because the entryway is flanked by giant lions, their mouths gaping in a roar. They are carved out of the local greenish stone of the region, but they had eyes inlaid with white limestone and other colored rocks to make their stare very, very vivid. There was also the King's Gate that is occupied by a statue of either a king or perhaps a god. And then the most impressive of the gates, located to the south, is the so-called Sphinx Gate, named for a sculpture of a sphinx that is mostly lion in body, but with a female head, that guarded the entranceway. Now, the Sphinx Gate is quite remarkable because right in front of the gate is an enormous white limestone pyramidal architectural element that would have been visible from miles around that led to this entryway into the city. And scholars are confused about what the purpose of this is. It's a monumental gateway, perhaps a place where the king would give speeches, something ceremonial, and it faces due south. Its form, looking like a pyramid, has made some scholars suggest that it's pointing southward towards the enemy region of Egypt, perhaps a defiant quotation of the famous pyramid form that their enemy nation is known for.